As we always do on Your Calls Media Roundtable, Joe, we start off on a positive note and highlight really good journalism that really stood out for you. So what struck you this week? What did you see?
I want to talk about, a blog that was published by Foreign Policy, the website. And this really gets to the heart of what we're talking about and some of the arguments I make in the book, because this blog was written not by a professional journalist, but by an anonymous Chinese Weibo user. Weibo in China is like the it's like the Twitter and Facebook rolled up into one. And this was a young girl who probably a teenager, we don't know exactly, who lived very close to where the Tianjin explosion took place. And as everyone knows, last month, this industrial zone, there was this horrific explosion. We don't know how many people were killed, but it was probably in the hundreds. And this young woman was injured very badly and described her ordeal and described her experience, including the strangers that came to help her, the treatment she received in the hospital, and the deficiencies of the Chinese authorities in responding to this emergency. And the Chinese government, this blog, which was translated from the Chinese and posted on Foreign Policy, received an unprecedented response in China from people who'd read it. And of course, the Chinese government responded by removing it and blocking it the way they always do when these kinds of revelations are made. So this was an incredible piece of journalism. It was not done by a professional journalist. It was done by an average person who was using these tools that are available now, even in China, to expose this reality and call attention to it. But the Chinese government responded not by addressing these concerns, but by censoring this Weibo post. And I think Foreign Policy did a great service by translating it and posting it on their blog.
It's so interesting because there are so many of these blogs. You just have to really look for them. But what are your thoughts about just what's involved in finding this information in the first place? I mean, it's great that Foreign Policy highlighted this, but it makes you think about so many of the other stories that people are writing that don't get highlighted by national outlets.
Yes, of course, and again, that's part of this reality in which as I note in my book, the deluge of information can be so overwhelming that it blinds us to the gaps in our knowledge. And so you're right. It is really, you know, if you put the energy in and you know where to go and you're engaged, you can find this information in many instances. Not always. We can talk about why it's not always available, but for many people it is. But it still remains an extraordinary, it takes a level of engagement that not everyone is able or willing to put in to find this information. And so that results in a kind of hierarchy in which certain people, certain institutions who make the effort have access to information, and other people who might benefit from it but are not in a position to put in that effort don't have it.
So let's talk a little bit about what is happening in China, since you brought up China. In your book, you write that the Chinese government has developed strategies combining traditional forms of repression with high techniques like using software to filter out prohibited content. News gatherers in China face a myriad of restrictions. Talk about some of those.
Remember that adage, you know, that the internet is impossible to censor or control, that information wants to be free, and as long as people have access to the internet, eventually these authoritarian systems will collapse. Remember that argument? It was a kind of utopian argument. You don't hear that anymore because China has effectively proved it wrong. Mm-hmm. China has demonstrated that you can have connectivity. China has more people online than any country in the world. The number's growing. People in China who are online have a very rich experience. They have access to shopping. They have access to entertainment. They have access to all sorts of important news and information. But the Chinese government at the same time has managed to construct a pretty effective system for monitoring and controlling information and creating what's often called the Great Firewall, which is creating a sort of internal domestic intranet which they can manage and control. So China is a powerful counterexample and a successful one that shows that It is possible to control and manage information even with these new technologies.